Jesus came to this world, those miraculous events that he called disciples and apostles to follow him, to teach his word. Does that have an effect on me? Does that impact me? What does it mean to me that Jesus had to die? Is that good news? Is that good news that Jesus had to die? That not only was he crucified, he was ridiculed. He was humiliated. He was beaten. He was tortured. Scourged. Lied about. Denied. Betrayed. Is that good news? He was crucified. The worst possible kind of death that the Romans could think of. He was crucified. And as we think about that part of the story of Jesus, what does that mean to me that he had to die for me? As Brother Jerry example this morning, that as a worm, he plucked me out. Does that have an impact on me? Does that change me? Does that make me think about the consequences of my own sin? Does that give me pause when I consider the fact that there's nothing that I could do? There is no amount of good that I could do. There's no amount of works possible that I could do for myself to overcome the fact that I separate myself from God by sin, that Jesus did those things for me. That's not that good a news, and yet that's part of the gospel. But Jesus was different. You see, other men had been denied. Other men had been betrayed. Other men had been crucified. There was two crucified with him that day. Crucifixion, unfortunately, was common. But Jesus was different. Jesus was perfect. You know, that day, when you consider all of the accounts that we have, here were the apostles that he had called to be closest to him, who had traveled with him for years now, who had watched him perform miracles, who had seen him give the lame the ability to walk, who had given sight back to the blind, who had fed thousands with just a little bit, who had performed miracles in such a way as to build their faith. They were ready that night in Gethsemane even to have died for him. Peter pulled a sword for him. And yet, when they took him away, his apostles ran. When they put him on trial, none of them were standing beside him. Peter was close enough for Jesus to look at him, but he denied him. And when he was crucified, there were none with him except for John. But Jesus was different. Jesus was perfect. Jesus was without sin. Jesus was the sacrifice that God had planned from the beginning of time, even before, to satisfy all of our sins. To cleanse me, to make me pure, to give me hope. And it's that truth that Paul was sharing with the Colossians that saves me, that gives me an opportunity to go to heaven, to spend eternity with him, because Jesus was different. And that is good news. That is the gospel. Jesus defeated Satan on Satan's turf and ended the fear of death. Ended the opportunity for Satan to hold us by death. Because he rose from the dead. God raised him from the dead to live eternally. To be my Savior, to be my Lord, to be my King, to be my King eternally. And that is good news. Paul wrote a letter to the Thessalonians. And he said that this gospel is important for us to know. Dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. If we don't know the gospel, if we are not familiar with the gospel, if we are not living the truth of the gospel, if our hope is not built in the gospel, in the fact that Jesus Christ died for us, that his sacrifice makes us pure, if obedience to him, obedience to the gospel, if our life is not based in that kind of obedience, then we will, like those that he's describing here to the Thessalonians, our eternal destruction will be all that we look forward to. But we have hope, just like he was writing to the Thessalonians, in the midst of their tribulation and their trials, God will bring judgment on those who do not know him and who do not obey this gospel. We talked about this morning's class with Brother Marty in regard to Nehemiah and the things that he was saying about the enemies of God. For God to bring judgment on them and to give them strength and to give them success. That can be our prayer. That can be our hope. We can pray for success so long as we are willing to share this gospel, to take this gospel and to evangelize the world, starting with our neighbor, starting with the person that is next to us at our job, starting with the person that we come in contact with in the public's checkout line. Everybody that we come in contact with, is it so impactful to us? You know, if I see a really good movie, I don't mind telling you about that. You should see this movie. It's got a great plot, and I'm not going to tell you the end of it because it'll spoil it for you. It's going to be great. I don't have any problem telling you about the menu of a good restaurant. You know, Steak and Shake has the best guacamole burger around. Does the gospel excite us enough to talk to people about it? Do we share it all the time? Is it on our lips? Is it in our heart? Are we so full of the gospel? Are we so full of this idea that Jesus died for me that we're willing to tell anybody and everybody that we can possibly come in contact with? That's the whole idea of evangelism. That's the whole idea of taking this message, this good news. There is hope, and it is the truth. It is the gospel. It is the fact that Jesus paid the penalty for us. That there's no way we can pay it for ourselves, and yet it has been paid. That's the gospel. That's the gospel that gives us hope. He finishes telling he goes on to tell the Thessalonians, it was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can spend eternity with him through the gospel. We can spend eternity with God, in the presence of God, singing praises to God. Does that excite you? Does it give you enough pause in this life to stop and consider that I am lost without the sacrifice that Jesus made for me? And so I encourage us to consider these things as we go through this week. To stop and to think, what does Jesus mean to me? What does the sacrifice that he was willing to make mean to me? Where would I be without it? What kind of lost, hopeless condition would I be in without the sacrifice that Jesus was willing to make? And the fact that he overcame death and that he demands obedience. The obedience to the gospel. The fact that in order to come in contact with this blood, Romans chapter 6 talks about being in Christ through baptism. That we have our hope in Christ, to be in Christ through baptism. That we can know that we have eternal life. Have you been baptized even today to wash away the sins of this life? To take advantage of the perfection of Jesus Christ, to take advantage of the sacrifice that he has made for us, to take advantage of the opportunity of life, life eternal, life here as well, because the peace of mind that comes from being a Christian and knowing that God answers our prayers and knowing that God will watch over us. Not that this life will be perfect by any means, but the life after will be. I encourage you, brethren, to think about these things and to meditate on them throughout this week, to hold them dear to your heart. If you've not been baptized, then you stand outside of that hope. But you have an opportunity even this morning to be baptized into His name, into Christ, to be part of that. If you've wandered away from that, He will take you back if you're willing to repent. Thank you for listening. If there's anything that we can do for you this morning, we encourage you to do so while we together we stand.